I have a message entitled today, we'll see how it goes, but it's called The Purpose of Relationship with the Holy Spirit. By the way, before we start that, there's a work of endurance and a work of perseverance that we probably don't talk about a lot, but there's a work of enduring. The Holy Spirit gives you a capacity to go through things unto the fulfillment of a promise. So the Bible teaches us plenty of different places, like don't shrink back. And I was praying for someone's healing today, this morning, and the Lord spoke to me and said, keep praying. There was a perseverance in the praying. If you're going through an elongated type trial of some sort, continue to persevere. Can I say that? Continue to walk unto the Lord in it. He's going to work something. In fact, the best ability that you have, if you can count it all joy, you know, just to say, I'm going to just go ahead and lift up my heart and laugh before the Lord and say thank you. There's recently, the last several months, there were things that came up in my heart that the Lord wanted to remove. And part of it had to do with this whole idea of I am not going to fall prey to complaining or fear, but I'm going to count it joy when there's a trial. And when that happens, there's something of a work of completeness begins to manifest inside of you. It's just the ways of the Lord are to produce, and we're going to get into this. The whole concept of the Holy Spirit has to do with producing the qualities of Jesus Christ within us. Go ahead and put up the prayer. Can we pray this aloud today? But by the way, thank you for being here. What a wonderful morning. Hallelujah. He comes every time. He comes in different ways to bring blessing and touch His touch to our hearts. And so let's open it with this. Here's the thing. How many of you have had been like clams, and it's hard to open you up to, you know what calls you, you know, hey, everybody has some kind of place pretty much where you go, this is off limits. Because you got hurt somewhere in your past. And you say, not this place. But the place where you put a guard is against being hurt again is the very place where you shut off the ability for love to come in. And it also shuts off the ability for God to come in with His love. It's just the way it works. So what we're going to look at here, and just look at this with me. Let's pray this. Lord, today I open my heart to receive, understand, and participate with the purpose of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Take me deeper, Lord, into Your authentic and fulfilling purpose for my life in Christ. Somebody just, let's praise the Lord with that. Hallelujah. That's our goal. Praise You, Jesus. I have something very funny that just occurred. There's a little component that if you leave it on and you talk, all those words go on your page. I went, I didn't know it was on. Okay, this is so goofy. All right, here we go. Let's next slide. So here's I want to lay a little theological background here. Father God is for you. Now, most people in American culture are, at least the Roman idea of God, He's a judge. He's not like a tender dad. In the Greek thing, even Zeus, He's just messed up. He's just at a whim. But the real breakdown of really who Father God is He's relational. And Hebrew culture is that it's breaking of relationships. Sin is not so much an individual thing, it's just a corporate thing, where it breaks relationships. So we see God is for us. Everybody say, Jesus is with us, Emmanuel, God with us, right? And the Holy Spirit is in us. So we say Christ dwells within us by the presence of the Holy Spirit, bringing Father's love into our lives. And what I've discovered is He's relentless to show you His love. I'll never forget, I was sitting there one time years ago, sitting there trying to have devotions, right? I think I've shared this before, but I mean, and the Lord whispers to me, He says, I love you. And I go, I don't have time for that. I'm having my devotions. Can you believe that? He's sharing His devotion to me. And I'm in my head. How many of you like to live your life in the Lord up out of your inner of your spirit? Out of your spirit, not out of your head. We have a little key decapitation device in the foyer on the way out. And we can go ahead and remove all the religious stuff in your head, and then there's a little box and we can shake all that out. Wouldn't you love that? All that formative year stuff that's just no good, just go, and then you start fresh. Paul actually said, when I was a child, I thought I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put away. He took his head off, got all that out of there. How about that? And you become a renewed. Everybody, we're going to get into the spirit of adoption. Now, next slide. This is a beautiful understanding. When God gives a gift, He wraps it in a person. He doesn't just send a message. He sends a person. I was talking to Michael Bave, who is a Foursquare pastor moved from Massachusetts to Wales. And we were chatting, and the Lord opened my understanding, because the churches, there's a group of churches in Wales that have dried up. And they were of a Baptist tradition, and they asked for him to come, and he's a Foursquare guy, and he came over there, and it revived the church. What his presence coming revived the whole church. And they said, they came up with a plan. Can we bring Foursquare pastors in on a 3-year thing? Says, have them get acclimated the first year, begin to bring reviving the second year, and then raise up a leader in that place for the third year. And that was the concept. And the Lord spoke to me and said, how many of you heard the streams in the desert verse? God says, I'll put streams in the desert. The Lord showed me Michael, but He showed me how it works. He sends not just a man. It's not just God doing it. When God wants to put streams in the desert, He brings a person. And He puts the decree on their mouth. Everything He does, He brings a person. He brings a message, but He brings it through a person. And it's the person under the anointing and authority of the Holy Spirit that speaks to the desert. And then the reviving and the streams and the rivers come up, because somebody is standing there saying, the rivers are coming. And where you're living, you may be the person with the anointing on your tongue to release the rivers, the blessing of the Holy Spirit around the place where you are. Let's go ahead. Hey, come on, this is God's way. He sends a person. God sends Jesus to reveal the love of the Father. And the Father God sends the Holy Spirit to release His love in and through us. It's that function and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk just a little bit, this next slide. Early church theologians have used two Greek words to describe the relationship of the Godhead. Ekstasis means out, or ek means out. Stasis means way of being. And this is actually how they framed it up. They said, God's way of being is one that is always going out in an overflow of personal, communal, and self-giving love. This is who God is. So you're invited into a relationship that's the way it is. And then there's this other word, perichoresis, and it speaks of a shared life. And it describes how each person of the Godhead empties himself into the other in a continual act of self-giving. So people don't know that this is how God's, the Father, the Holy Spirit. Once you understand how this works and you're invited into this, it changes the way you're going to respond to the Lord. So he says, and this is the most beautiful thing, explained through the metaphor of a circle dance. Have you ever heard that? Dance then wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said He. Have you ever heard, anybody ever heard that? When you go through the verses of that, you actually see that this is understood by revelation by the person who wrote the lyrics of that song. Where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are sharing their love in mutual other-centeredness and self-giving. In perfect harmony, joy, peace, affirmation, and acceptance. You will always see these phenomenal qualities in the Godhead. Hallelujah. So watch this. So Jesus prays a prayer, John 17. And He prays this prayer, and this is before He goes to heaven. He's praying the prayer that we get in the circle. I picked a slide here, but it says, Jesus is praying the prayer to the Father. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also those who will believe in Me through their word. that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. You see the invitation? You're invited into this fullness of love, self-giving, emptying out, beautiful Spirit of God, pouring from one to another. That, let me say, the greatest fulfillment of your life is when you're whole and you're flowing out what God has put in you. That's the picture of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, every morning, get up. He's all about making you like Jesus. This kind of quality stuff. This is what he's after. That they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Right now, hey, it's not Christianity that gives anybody peace. It's Christ himself. It's knowing him, walking with him. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them even as you've loved me. It's a lifelong quest, but there is a transformation of your heart. And it's not just you simply reading the Bible every day. It has to do with the participation of the Holy Spirit, taking that and working that in you. Next slide. And this is kind of the where it all goes. Romans 8:15-17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Anybody happy about that? This is a key thing. But you've received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. When I first got saved, I wrote a little song called Abba, Father. First thing to happen. We delight ourselves in your presence, Father, as little children. We delight ourselves in your presence, Father, as little. Singing, Abba, God. First thing in my spirit is the spirit of adoption started crying out. And as a songwriter, I started to articulate the core of this coming into this relational bond that Jesus has prayed that you and I... This is not some Christian church thing. This is the kingdom of God, where you and I come into this deep, loving, bonding, relational thing. It's not about you keeping rules. It's about you being overflowed with the tender mercies of God that draws you into a place of wholeness, that gives you the courage to let go of things that have been bad for you. How many of you have things in your life you added them on thinking they would do you good, and the further along you go, you realize this is really bad. This is taking me away from the Lord. And you end up weaning from that stuff. And then he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And here's that persevering thing. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, there's a lot of theological words that the Bible teaches that show what Jesus did and how the Holy Spirit applies this stuff. There's big words like conviction, where you have the conviction of sin, conviction of the righteousness of Jesus, conviction that there's judgment coming, and that sets you up to begin to open your heart. There's the word regeneration. When you begin to open to the Lord, he begins to regenerate. There's the word justification. He says, I'm going to make it just as if you've never sinned. There's the word adoption, as we just looked at, or sanctification. There's perseverance, glorification. There's a deposit of the Holy Spirit. There's this empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But it all boils down to the Holy Spirit making you like a person, making you authentically you, fulfilling who you're truly intended to be, overflowing with the love of God, being brought into the circle of this relational bond with God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then manifesting the overflow of that out of you in the unique way you're made to give it. Hallelujah. You're not going to do it the way I do it. I'm a really strange person. Heather knows. Now look at this. The disciples weren't born again or made spiritually alive until they met Jesus in the upper room. They were walking with him by faith, but it was that moment in the upper room in Capernaum after his resurrection. He breathed upon him and said, "Receive the Spirit. Receive the Spirit." And then later they were born again. So they were born again at that moment. Next slide. They were born again at that moment. Notice, however, that Jesus told his same disciples who had just received the Spirit to go to Jerusalem and wait until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's the born again, but there's this empowerment, this baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so both this is amazing stuff. Both public ministry of Jesus in the Gospels and the public ministry of the church in Acts began with life-changing encounter with the Spirit. How many remember Jesus goes down and is baptized in the water? He comes up. What happens? John sees it. He sees a dove. There's a dove landing on it. Heavens open up. There's an empowerment. The moment after, he's empowered. After 30 years of growing up as a young man, now, you know, Jesus would be going to heaven if he didn't die for us because he's sinless, right? But now he's going to do the work of the ministry. Same thing. He says, guys, you're filled with the Spirit. You're received the Holy Spirit. But now go to the upper room and wait and seek my face. And then there comes this empowerment. There's an encounter where a filling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had it. He goes into public ministry. It happens for us. So the book of Acts is the story of the disciples receiving what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. So here's the terminology. Let's next slide. Luke's terminology in describing people's experience with the Holy Spirit in Acts conveys the relational dynamic rather than precisely worded theology. So he uses the words like filled. Oh, they received. The Holy Spirit fell on all. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were poured out on them. So there's the overflowing work of the Holy Spirit. He came upon them. Well, these statements, they're all in these different scriptures. But this one, Luke uses the word epipipto. Everybody say that, epipipto. This is the most beautiful thing because this is showing that relational side of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing spooky. There's nothing weird. It's actually a saturation of tender love. And Jesus uses the word during his telling of the parable in Luke 15 of the prodigal returning. And the father sees him in the distance and runs out to him. In the King James, it says, he fell on his neck. He embraced him. That's the word epipipto. Luke is using this word in Luke as Jesus is explaining the love of the Father coming upon this returning prodigal. You get the picture? He uses the exact same word when the Holy Spirit falls on them in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is coming out of heaven and hugging your neck, embracing you. Nothing spooky about the Holy Spirit. It's all about getting you in the circle of that love. It's all about the overflow of this intimate care. It's all about reviving you and causing you to step into things that you begin to have confidence. If you were like me and you were smashed to smithereens as a kid, and I don't know anybody who doesn't have some degree of brokenness, you don't start off whole. You start off in a process. And God begins to love you and put you together. How many of you have resisted that love for years? It's amazing. But He doesn't stop loving us. So, I just said it. Let's go ahead to the next one. And so, Luke uses the word to describe the Holy Spirit embracing with affection. And the same word, epipipto. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Same word. And Jesus taught the disciples the active role of the Holy Spirit would be in their lives. So, let's just look at John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, He will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. So the Holy Spirit was active in guiding the ministry in the book of Acts. Look at this, Acts 13:2. While they were still worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, look at this, the Holy Spirit said it, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them. So now the authentic work. This is, you know, people, they don't, you know, realize, you know, Paul just didn't get saved and go right into the ministry. He got saved and went into 14 years in the desert. And now they're seeking the Lord and they're in Antioch. And the Holy Spirit shows up and says, well, He's there. And He says, now, the very distinct work that I have prepared Paul for, He's going to go do that now. And he's working on you. And he's preparing you. And there are phases. It's like the calling on our life never changes. The assignments and the expression of that calling does change over time. So, and also, the Holy Spirit works when receiving instruction. Next one, when receiving instruction from the Lord in Acts 15:28, the phrase is used, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." And it goes on. So there, he's involved actively. Now I want to get to, I think I'm close to being, we're going around the runway one more time and then we're to land, okay? Have you ever seen on medicine, go ahead, next one. On medicine, there's this active ingredient. This is so important to get. Now, the active ingredient is what does the work inside. But what it comes in is talc or chalk. There's other stuff. Does that make sense? It's wrapped up in something. But the active ingredient isn't that talc. The other active ingredient is the active ingredient that does the work. When it comes to our transformation, much of what we call spiritual disciplines, turn into talc. I meant not talk. Yeah, it could be just talk. But T-A-L-C, turn into talc, unless the Holy Spirit is present. Years ago, I was sitting in Christiansburg. Jack Hayford was speaking, and I'd never seen him write in any book, but he said the words, "The Holy Spirit is what everything is about." And so you can, how many of you know, you can be sitting there reading the Bible with your mind and get nothing. But when the presence of the Lord is there, suddenly it's alive. So why don't we put more emphasis on our spirit being in the presence of the Lord than we do. And this is what's reviving in me. I have made such a commitment. I'm not trying to be some big spiritual guy over here. I'm just, actually, this is what's going on. You'll see this. He's making me more like a kid. He's making me experience more joy. He's causing me to really put more trust in him and trust him in greater ways, like a child. Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you can't even enter the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit, that spirit of adoption, begins to take you back to truly trusting and relating him in a different way. And all the things that you've put on your mind as a quote-unquote responsible adult to try to pull off without his help is literally wearing you out. It's not spiritual giant stuff. It's transformation stuff. The active ingredient is the Holy Spirit working in you and me to cause life to have joy in it, peace in it, life-giving moments. The Holy Spirit is the active ingredient in your personal transformation. 2 Corinthians, I just put part of the verse, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as this by the Spirit of the Lord. The active ingredient, everybody say, the active ingredient is the Holy Spirit. And the real active ingredient of transformation comes in relating him pulling you into that circle of love and causing you to be nourished and fed. Is this helping? So there's three primary objectives the Holy Spirit is related to the believers are this: to bear witness of your sonship, to lead and guide you into all truth, and to endue, clothe, and fill you with power. I want to go ahead and say this. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, in anybody's life that's a believer, a follower of Jesus, you can do nice stuff, but it's really not going to have that eternal impact in people. There's something even about the quality of giving a cup of water and the Holy Spirit being there. Anybody can give out water, but when you do it in the name of Jesus, there's a residual impact of something, a quality, where the Holy Spirit begins to say, this is different. And the world is starving. And people, God needs people who are secure and walking in this kind of love. This is what really is necessary. And here's the thing. Here's what's going on. Okay, it's going to get darker. It's been getting darker, right? Darker morally, darker, right? But guess what? We're about to hit some explosive light. And the explosive light is those people who realize where the love is coming from. That He gets all the glory. Let's go ahead and just take a moment and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Explosive life, explosive light, explosive love coming through into us, through us, affecting the environment around us. Thank you, Jesus. So everything God has made available to you by the Holy Spirit is to bring you into a fully transformed experience in the life and fellowship of the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's causing us to have that bond with Him. Now, I'm going to put on, just to finish up here, there's 9 little points before I get to those. Partnering with the Holy Spirit, put up Jude 20, 21. Would you read this with me? But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. One day I was reading this and I only had the first part. I didn't have verse 21. And the Holy Spirit would say, hey, read the next part, read the next part. It says, you building yourselves up. And I was a little bit more of a works guy, you know, worksman. I got to pray in tongues a certain amount of time a day. I got to do that. And just build up my prayers. And the Lord goes, whoa, 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 whoa. What's the purpose? And it says, keep you in the love of God. When you spend time, spending time sitting here, loving you, Jesus, right? When you're spending that time, there's this transference by the Holy Spirit to pour something into you that you don't have. Now, see, you know, you do have the presence of the Spirit of God in you, in your spirit. But when you pray the Spirit, you pray it up. And I don't want to come off like some big spiritual giant or anything. I just have been craving more of being with the Lord. Not for religious reasons or ministry reasons, just for personal reasons. And so I end up praying in the Spirit, sitting there. You know, I'm a songwriter. Sometimes that happens. Thinking about the future, just praying. And suddenly, He wells up. And when He wells up, by that I mean the presence of God. Like we come in here and you worship and you held it. How many of you have a witness of the Holy Spirit rising up inside of you and you feel that intimacy with God? The reason we do it here is so that you can do more on your own, right? So you can have this. Don't let that dry up. Be in His presence. Do that. Your brain will go, get rid of that. You'll be more fulfilled having these moments of fullness in the Spirit, participating with His love for you, than anything else in your life. It's better than pizza and ice cream. Then, of course, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 and 2, this is more the ministry flow. Pursue love, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. That means to build other people up by speaking words that the Holy Spirit's put on your heart. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. And that's important to know, not for no one understands Him, but He utters mysteries to Himself. And this is what I've learned. I've learned that if I will take the time and speak in the presence of just speak with an endearing heart, desiring to be with Him, and I pray in the Spirit. And many of you, if you don't have a spiritual language, I'm going to go ahead and read just a few little pointers. But the point is, why in the world would God give spiritual language? Why? It's so that He can develop within you this bottomless pit of love. He's going to cause there to come the expression of Jesus Christ through your life. That's what he's doing it for. And so, pray more that way. I just don't want to, it's not about religious stuff. It's about relational bond with the Lord. Is anybody here getting this? You understand? Okay. All right, let's look at these nine little things. Humble yourself and come to Christ. He's your Savior. He is also the baptizer of the Spirit. That's number one. So if you've never experienced this before, where look, the Lord loves you. I've had several different times when people go, hey, I know a lot of people say, I just wanted more of Jesus. I got like a handful of stories. I won't get into them. But if you just have a craving for Jesus and say, Lord, I just want you more, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit will come. Jesus himself will come and begin working in you at a deeper level, and you'll have this love flow of language begin to manifest up out of you. So invite Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I want everything you have for me. Can we just go ahead and in your heart just tell the Lord that? That he's not going to give you anything that's not absolutely wonderful. If you know how to give good gifts being evil, how much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? See, this is important. Jesus is saying this. This is Jesus. Lord, I want everything you have. Would you baptize me with your Spirit? Next one. So don't mistake an emotional experience for the overflowing of other-centered person. The Lord comes and it's Him. The Holy Spirit was. It takes time to learn to partner with the Lord and to hear Him and respond to Him. So number four, partner with the Holy Spirit of the spiritual language that releases the Abba cry in you, rebuilding your childlike design. That's what's going to happen. Next one, get ready to play, think, laugh, and dream like a kid again. I saw a couple of smiles show up. Dreams and visions are restored whenever believers are filled with the Spirit. Pray as the Spirit prompts you. The Holy Spirit will cultivate in you a child's perfect prayer. Abba, I belong to you. Father in heaven, I worship you. I'll give you $10 for this later. Heather's first word was Baba. You know what Baba means? Daddy in Cantonese. Or Taiwanese, she would go into the nail place and the little boy would run in and go, Baba, Baba. And she goes, that's the word I'm praying in tongues. She's saying, Father, it's the Abba cry. Dreams of, so, Abba, I belong to you, Father in heaven, I worship you. You will experience an enlargement in your soul that might be similar to creating a drinking straw for a fire hose. This just means a greater capacity to experience God's presence in us. I just love everything to do with how the Holy Spirit manifests. Go ahead, next one. Meditate, a spiritual process that causes fire to burn in your spirit, on scriptures that declare your sonship. You'll go into deeper places of understanding who you are to the Lord. And number eight, begin to give yourself away. That, you know, when you have more of what God's capacities in you, you quit being as selfish. Your strengths, your talents, the things you love to do are God's gifts through you to someone else. To live in fellowship with the Trinity is to learn to empty yourself continually and to enjoy yourself is to be full. Isn't that amazing? People, one of the things that I end up doing a lot of is I pray for people to be set free. And, sometimes it's a quiz, like what is really holding them back? And when the Holy Spirit goes, well, here it is, and he tells it to me, next thing you know, there's a profound sense of freedom that comes. It's wonderful. I could do it all day long. But that's me. I'm a unique, weird bird. But I was so broken so long, it took me a long time to get put together again, and the Lord says, okay, now this is what you're supposed to do. How many of you know there's different ones of you, there's just different unique blessings that manifest through your life that when you do what you do, God shows up. Let's go ahead to the last one. And this is key. Spend time with others who are also cultivating their relationship with the Lord by the Holy Spirit as iron sharpens iron. We spent some time yesterday in the Vision Dream Workshop. It was very sharpening. Find others who are on the same journey of spiritfulness. Let's all stand together. And I hope this is helpful today as we're moving toward. How many of you want to just, okay, I'm going to make room in my life for a greater participation and fellowship with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to open up to Him. And this is what will happen. This is what's happened to me. He reached down and said, okay, you're opening up to that? Let me go ahead and pour love into you. Roger, you didn't receive affection as a child. You not only got rejection, but there was a void inside of you. You were void, empty, when it came to feelings of affection. I'm going to take that out of you. That's a grief to my heart, that you don't receive a level of affection inside of you that I designed you for. And as I opened to the Holy Spirit, He showed me a point of pain that I didn't receive love as a child. And He removed it. And now I do. And I'm better for it. And He will do these things for you if you're honest before Him. You might be laying on your bed and the Lord says, hey, you know all that trauma or hurt that happened? Let's just go there for a minute. You just find yourself crying a little bit. Next thing you know, He's releasing things out of you that hinder the fullness of His love. This is so important to the Lord, isn't it? Can we just praise Him for a moment? Say, thank you, Lord. I want to participate with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Now, we're going to go ahead and take a moment. Everybody who has a prayer language, we're just going to, like a little holy murmur, go ahead and pray in the Spirit here. If you don't, just say, if you want to make yourself available to that, it may just be like, blah, 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 whatever. But let's go ahead and do that for a minute. Hallelujah. If not, if you don't have that language, you go ahead and tell the Lord, I love you, Lord. Just say that. I love you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Come. Overflow and flood. We turn up our hearts inside to express the love back to you that you pour in via the Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your tender mercies. Thank you for your healing grace. Thank you for the fullness. Thank you for the grace of God upon us. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you have any spiritual need or would like further ministry in receiving the Holy Spirit's baptism, come on down here as we dismiss. Amen. Love on each other. Hallelujah. Go in the fullness of the Lord. Amen.